Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think, of course, it gives you opportunities up and down. I mean, last year we were dabbling in discussions with people right in the middle of the round. It's kind of a right place for discussion.
Thomas Dimitroff talking about being at 14 and what are they going to do. It is the week of the NFL draft, and welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh, broadcasting live at College Park this morning at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm, part of our One Day, One Thing initiative and Earth Day and all that kind of good stuff. Well, what will the Falcons farm in the NFL draft? Hugh, there's a lot of talk. I mean, you look on the internet. Of course, the internet never lies, but if you look on the internet and read some of the stuff, there's a lot of rumors that the Atlanta Falcons are looking to make a move up, and maybe a big move up in this draft.
That would be pretty exciting. I like, if they move up, that means to me, obviously, that they feel like this, whomever they choose at that position, is the guy that they feel that's going to push their defense, or whatever position they feel that he's going to, you know, whatever position he plays, that he's going to be an immediate impact when he comes to Atlanta Falcons. That's how I look at that.
And are we just thinking that that's just one name? It's Ed Oliver?
That's what I would think, John. I would think that would be the case. I keep hearing this offensive lineman's name that potentially could be drafted by the Atlanta Falcons.
Jonathan Williams?
Yeah, that's the name that I keep hearing. But, John, it's one of those things where I feel, from what I have been told from Thomas Dimitroff in the past, that would not be the right move for them, because he's not going to come in and play immediately unless they just feel – if they take an offensive lineman with that first pick overall, that means that he's going to come in and play right now and he's going to make
an immediate
impact.
Yeah, but I can't see that. Like, you look at free agency for what they did. They paid Ty Sambrello starter money. They paid Carpenter and Brown starter money. I mean, they went out and made, you know, three big moves to their offensive line in terms of paying starter money to guys that, you know, at the right tackle and right guard and left guard spots to solidify that line. I don't know. It just doesn't seem – look, anything – at this point, Hugh, I so don't know what they're going to do that they could take Jonathan Williams.
I am still stuck on D-tackle. And the name that I'm hearing, I just pulled up a mock draft, John, just a random mock draft. And at this in this draft, they have the Atlanta Falcons taking Christian Wilkins from Clemson. And the story reads like this. They said, the Falcons surrendered a tick under 5 yards of carry on the ground this season. Makes sense, taking advantage of the deep pool of tackles in this class. Atlanta could also target one of the cornerbacks in or interior offensive options. See, that's covering your bet. That right there is covering all bases.
Right.
Because basically,
they could take a quarterback, a running back,
a wide receiver. That's what I'm saying. Because this is not an exact science. And I know, you know, my man Dave, shout out to Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and my man Randy Mack. They're going to break this thing down Thursday night. And they're going to tell you from their perspective what the Atlanta Falcons need to improve their team. And I would think – I'm not a mind reader. I haven't heard Dave. But I would think that with Dave Archer watching this team as much as he's watched and Wes, that they would probably lean more towards an interior lineman, like a D lineman, because of that thing. Because, listen, you got to – like, in this day and age, defense wins ball games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a strong defense – You could win some games. Look at perfect example, the St. Louis Rams. They could get after the quarterback. Now in the Super Bowl, their defense, it was more like a stalemate. Hey, I said St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, I know you did. Thanks, but I was
shout
gonna
out
let it
there.
Go.
LA Rams. LA Rams.
I was just gonna
but
let it
yeah,
go.
Yeah, but you know you could be defensive, and that's the way the game is going. I would think that. You would want to go out in this draft and get one of these D tackles because it's a deep pool of them.
Well, we have seen, you know, everybody's guessing. I mean, the only people that really know are Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn.
Yes.
And everybody's guessing as to what the Falcons are going to do. Are they going to stay at 14? Are they going to move up? Are they going to move down? I've seen them in mock drafts move down to 23 and up to 8. Though I think it's interesting to note that if you're in love, and I mean in love with Ed Oliver, there's a story here that the Jets are suddenly looking at Ed Oliver at number 3 in this draft. And, of course, if the Jets were – I don't think the Falcons are moving to number three. It would just be too costly. But if he's going to go third overall, guys rise and fall in the draft as we get towards the draft. And one of the guys that just has become kind of the new hotness is Ed Oliver.
Yeah. He's the guy that – it all depends on who you talk to, John. And this is the thing about this week in the draft. You're probably going to hear stories about – like some of them are kind of negative, trying to sway teams from actually picking whenever they're going to pick. But listen, these teams have done their due diligence. They know who they want to get. They're going to go out and get the guy that they want to have, and it's going to be a done deal. But all this week, because we've heard stories of Kyler Murray and how he is and how he – for some people, was a little bit arrogant when it comes to certain things. But this is the week. Teams are basically locked in. Like, the number one pick is locked in. Only thing they're waiting for is the countdown. They're waiting for the buzzer to go off so they can make that pick. I would not be surprised if – remember, like, in – what was it? Was the Jerry Maguire movie? They already had a deal done. And they were just waiting – for the team to go out and the draft to start so they can make that pick. Some of that has probably already been done. The first pick is already known, and the team, the Arizona Cardinals, already have their pick. Everything else now is just formality.
Or their trade or whatever
it
is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Because there's another story from the weekend that Arizona has moved off of Kyler Murray. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Kyler Murray won't go number one. It just means that Arizona won't take him.
You know,
maybe Arizona trades down to Oakland and picks up an extra first-round pick and it decides to do it that way. I don't know what's going to happen here. I just know that it's going to be rather interesting because there are forecasts that this could be a draft on Thursday night that will be and Friday and Saturday in Nashville that will be full of trades all over the place. And, of course, we hear that every year, and what does it end up being? Pretty standard and pretty rope, right?
And then not only that, I've been hearing like the last couple weeks. I read a story, and I think I sent you the story where the Oakland A, like Kyler Murray is trying to fleece the Oakland A for some more money.
Right.
I read that story, and whether or not like it almost sounds like Kyler Murray is trying to leverage both of these sports to try to get as much money as he possibly can. Now, I'm not mad at him for doing that. I'm not, and he's a unique talent where he can play both sports. He has the ability to play both sports. But I think at the end of the day, it's giving a bad look because it makes you feel like, you know, he's not really sure what he wants to do.
All right, we're talking about the Falcons getting ready for the draft on Thursday. Our coverage Thursday begins with Dukes and Bell at 2 to 7 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mike Conney, Randy McMichael, Dave Archer, Wes Durham, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium Thursday night, 7 until the end of the first round. They have complete coverage of round one of the NFL draft only on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Thursday night. And we'll be talking about that, you know, leading up, obviously, really in a way, our draft coverage is already underway, and our draft coverage is sponsored this year by NorthernTool.com. The fine folks at Northern Tool and Equipment are covering our wall-to-wall draft coverage. If you're a tool guy or gal, make sure you take advantage of the huge savings at NorthernTool.com. ESPN's Mike Clay. Now, do you know who Mike Clay is? You ever heard of that name?
Not right off the top of my head, John. I'm about to Google him.
All right, so that's a new one on me. Apparently has said that the Falcons are going to finish with 8 wins or less. And I read the headline, and I went, am I just too close to this? Am I?
Yes, you are. And you have to understand, John, we live in a world, and we do a job that a lot of times, you've been in those meetings where you've been told, hey, man, you know, you got to say something provocative. You got to say something that's going to move the meter. And for him, that moves the meter. The Falcons are going to be 8-8. That's easy to say. Remember a couple years ago, who was it? The fullback that used to play for the Saints that were, I can't think of his name right now. The big muscle head dude. But anyway, he worked for the NFL Network, and he said that the Falcons were going to be 7-9. That's the year that the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. And it's one of those things where this is the time of year whether we have is based in anything, truth or not. You have to I forgot Heath's last name. But if it's based in truth or not, John, that's what people do. That's what we do. That's what we do as pundits. Heath Evans. Thank you very much there, Abe. Heath Evans. Couldn't think of his big head self name. But, yeah, that's what we do. we'll sit here, and if our feet are held to the fire, say, hey, how many wins do you think the Eagles are going to have? I think they're going to go 10-6. Or how many wins? Because you're looking at the games, you're looking at the matchups, and you're basing it on what the team did last year. And that's all you can base it on, because you're talking about making all these predictions before the draft, before you get all these new players, probably making these predictions before they even looked at the Falcons roster, you know, before they signed Adrian Claiborne, before they got Rashid Hageman back. So they're looking at it, and you're asked to make a prediction. Doesn't have to be based in anything. Just say, hey, what do you think the Falcons going to do? Oh, last year they got hurt, and, you know, they're going to be coming off of injuries. This is just a quick synopsis. They're going to come off injuries. Oh, they'll be 8-8. You know, because, they, you know, guys are going to come back from injury. It's going to take them a while to get acclimated back to the 8-8. That's fine. Oh, the Philadelphia Eagles, they went to the playoffs last year. Oh, they'll go again. Oh, Jacksonville, they failed. They had that playoff year where they went to the AFC Championship game. They kind of fell off a little bit last year. Oh, they'll bounce back. You know, they'll be 10-6. They'll win the division. I mean, that's it. You know what I mean? That's how you do it. Indianapolis Colts. Oh, they had a nice run towards the end of the season. Oh, they'll be back in the playoffs. You know, you see what I'm saying? That's all they do. So, for you, and I know how you are, because when you hear that about the Falcons, because you and your Falconum right now, you get all up in your feelings. Don't just listen.
No,
to that.
It's not really a question of being up in my feelings as much as it is about, really, that's, I mean, what am I missing that?
Because nobody has their boots on the ground like we got our boots on the ground, John, here in Atlanta. You know, you're talking about nationally where they're asked to look at all of the teams in the NFL, all 32, and give us your prediction mm-hmm. about all 32.
Right.
And that's how they're looking at it. We're looking at it from a different perspective because we're here every day. We talk about the Falcons every day. So our perspective is always going to be different than a national perspective.
All right, so tell me about Rashid Hageman. I mean, the interesting decision to bring him back. Now, he's going to have to make the team. I mean, a one-year deal, but he's going to have to make the team.
And I think that for Coach Quinn, it doesn't hurt anything. You're talking about a guy who could come in, and if he's learned his lesson, if he's truly can be, you know, a factor, then he's going to get an opportunity. You know, to sit home for a couple seasons, that's a humbling thing, man. That is a humbling thing. And then you look at the opportunity that you missed, and you want to go back out there and you want to try to take advantage of it. Coach Quinn has nothing to lose. You know, you're signing that deal. This is the thing. I don't know what his deal was, and I don't know what the money he signed for. But that money don't kick in until the season starts.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? It's not like Darryl looked at me like, for real? No. Listen, bro. Like, in case nobody knew, I'm about to drop it on you. I could go right now, and I could get a deal. Say, for instance, Coach Quinn. I say, Coach Quinn, I want to play. He'll give me $1 million contract. Right, I still got to make the team before them checks kick in. It ain't like I sit there and get $1 million. He'd say if I sign for $1 million and $5,000 signing bonus, I'll get that $5,000 the day that I sign. But in order for me to get that meal, order for those checks to kick in, I have to make the squad. I have to make the 53-man roster. So it's nothing to bring Rashid Hageman in to training camp and let him practice. It's nothing to have him working out with the team because you're only giving him, what, $300. He's technically on the roster, but he still has to make the squad. So it's like you got him giving that money. That money only kicks in if he makes the team.
Third veteran they brought to the defensive line, Davison Claiborne, now Hageman.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, does that tell you anything about the Falcons draft or not? The NFL is already – do you think Thursday is going to be wild? The NFL's already wild. We mentioned Kyler Murray and what's going to happen. Have you seen what's happening with the Raiders? Man of mercy. It's just Monday of draft week. We'll tell you about that next. Broadcasting live from College Park at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm. We'll get into the National Football League ahead of Thursday's draft with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. First to CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Now more John and Hugh.
All right, let's have some fun.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I just feel like we go into the draft with, you know, in a really good place, and we don't feel the same amount of pressure going into the draft having to get, you know, all these depth areas taken care of. And that's that's a good feeling going in as co-team builders, knowing that the pressure's not there to pop three D linemen and this guy and that guy and offensive linemen.
Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff talking about what they were able to do in free agency that in their eyes means that they can play a little bit around in the NFL draft and don't feel like they absolutely have to go to one spot. And welcome back to the morning show on this Monday, this Earth Day Monday. John and Hugh in College Park with three other stations. Our whole Entercom family is out here at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm on Main Street in College Park as we broadcast to you this day after Easter, part of our One Thing initiative. And, Hugh, this is kind of an interesting situation the Falcons are in, and we're going to get into some of the NFL draft stuff ahead of Thursday night. But the Falcons say that they have managed to take care of their glaring holes. They went out and got a number of veterans. Now, granted, not many of them are big-name veterans, but we talked about three defensive linemen and Tyler Davison, who probably is the best of the three, a big run-stuffing defensive tackle. Adrian Claiborne and Rashid Hageman giving Rashid a chance to make the team again. They go out and get three guys on the offensive line, a star tight end, a big blocking tight end, and Stocker. You get Brown, you get Carpenter. You know, you lock down your offensive line. They feel that they're in a pretty good spot in terms of not having a glaring hole. Does that say anything about the draft and their ability to be able to go out and do something shocking like draft a cornerback?
Well, it says to me that, you know, we just talked about it a little bit while ago, John, where they was giving it like 5 yards of carry on the ground. You know, when you get the young man from the New Orleans Saints that you put in the middle, that shores up the run defense. But now you have to get pressure on the quarterback. That's the biggest thing that the Falcons were lacking last year. And you heard Coach Quinn allude to that. He was talking about how he had to get the quarterback on the ground now. So I don't think that necessarily changes what they do as far as the draft is concerned. I think you still go out and you get a pass rush and D tackle, because none of the guys that you got in free agency outside of Adrian Claiborne screams to me somebody that's going to put pressure on the quarterback. You still want to get that dynamic pass rush that you can pair with Grady that's going to put pressure on the quarterback. So, to me, and not only the fact that, you know, I'm a defensive lineman and I feel that the game is mostly impacted with the pass rush, that, yeah, I feel like it's still going to be a defensive lineman. But with all this talk about corner play and things of that nature, that could be something that could be in the future for the Atlanta Falcons. But I will say this, John. Pass rush and coverage goes hand in hand. Cannot say that enough. I played with some great corners when I played with Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent. But they'll tell you that if we weren't up front doing what we did to get to the quarterback, it makes their job so much easier, especially in a game where, you know, you only got 5 yards of cushion where you can actually play aggressive. And we've seen how a lot of corners in this game, they have trouble press coverage. Like, press coverage for a lot of corners is a problem. Think about Rocky Alford. And a lot of times back here with us, he'll play good coverage one time. But when it was a go-to down, teams would throw at him, and it would either be a PI or a completion. It would be a pass interference or a completion. And that's what it was, because you weren't – Anytime a quarterback has that much time to throw the ball down the field and get a receiver open or get the PI, that means that your pass rush isn't doing the job. And that's the way that I honestly feel that you can affect the game more, is if you get that good stout pass rush up front.
The NFL Draft Thursday is the opening round, and then, of course, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It'll be in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. And as we count down to our coverage of the NFL Draft, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we're going to be looking at all the headlines, not just the Falcons. One of the big headlines that popped over the weekend, the Oakland Raiders. I don't know what's going on with the Oakland soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, but John Gruden fires his entire scouting staff a week before the draft. His entire I don't scouting staff,
John,
is fired.
I don't know what to say. Obviously, there was a difference of opinions on who you wanted. I will say this. That's a hell of a time to fire your staff right before the draft. That is a hell of a time to fire your staff right before the draft. And I'm pretty sure the Oakland Raiders will be fine, because I'm pretty sure Coach Gruden, before he fired everybody, he had some people in mind, you know, that he was going to elevate. Maybe it was one of his sons. I know one of his sons works for the Washington Redskins. Maybe he went and snatched up some of those guys. But Coach Gruden's a smart man. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, everybody's making a big deal about the fact that he fired them before the draft. But I'm pretty sure that there were some folks waiting in the wings that wait for those jobs.
Well, you know, he said he was unsure who to trust, you know.
And, yeah, that's probably it, too.
And that's not a good spot to be in.
Chucky seems a little paranoid to me. But that's, yeah, I mean, hey, it's worked well for him in the past. Got him a Super Bowl ring. So, yeah. But it's just weird. But coaches do weird things, John. Coaches do weird things. And Coach Gruden, by far, is one of the weirdest specialist coaches in the NFL. There's no doubt about that.
Well, the disinformation campaign that goes on in front of the draft is in high gear this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of disinformation going on. I mean, are the Cardinals going to take Kyler Murray number one? Kyler's flirting with the Oakland A's. Are the Oakland Raiders playing rope-a-dope here, and do they have a deal? Is it possible that he had to fire these guys because John Gruden wants to trade the fourth pick and the 24th pick to get the number one pick from Arizona so he could take Kyler Murray? I don't know. I mean, will Kyler Murray go number one? Will he drop to number 25? I have no idea what's going to happen here.
You know what? I could definitely see, now that you mention it, I could see Kyler Murray a Raider. I could see that. And Daryl just cringed when I said that. But Coach Gruden is known for getting halfway decent quarterbacks to play pretty good. One guy jumps out to me is Bobby Hoyne. You know, I told the story on the air a couple times about how he put him in position to get paid by the Philadelphia Eagles, and Bobby Hoyne didn't take the money. And I would think that, you know, when you're coming into a new situation and you're taxed with making a team better or bringing them back to what they used to be, It kind of starts with the
Brad
quarterback.
Johnson.
Yeah, it kind of starts with the quarterback.
Did the same thing.
Yeah, Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon, man, let me tell you, when Rich Gannon and Gruden got together – and they had the veteran crew of receivers with Jerry Rice and Tim Brown, man, and who was it? Charlie Garner, the running back from Tennessee that was in the back. Man, they had a good team. They had a really good team.
What do you make of Kyler Murray? I mean, Hugh, here it is, his draft week, and I'm not sure I've seen as uncertain a number one pick 3 days ahead of the NFL draft as we have this year.
You know what, John? And to be fair, I'm only assessing – I only can go by what I've read and what I've seen so far. It seems like Kyler Murray is – he's playing one hand against the other. He's playing the A's against the NFL. He's playing baseball against the NFL, which, again, I have to say, when you're in a position where you can get money, if you're in a position where you could be the first-round draft pick in the NFL and still have an ability to play baseball, I say to the young man, why not do that? And if I'm his dad, I'm sitting there telling him, son, do what you feel is best for you, but weigh your options. I mean, that's all it is. You're talking about a young man who is, either way you look at it, is going to get a windfall. Now, if you look at it from a baseball perspective, he's probably not going to play. He's probably not going to come up to the majors for at least 2 or 3 years, maybe 4. It all depends because it's changed a little bit in baseball now. You know, young cats don't stay down that long in baseball anymore. In football, if you're the number one pick, you're going to make your money. You're going to make your money almost immediately. You're going to almost immediately get a chance to play. And he's probably weighing those options. Mm-hmm. He probably at this point does not know what he wants to do, to be totally honest. And you have two people pulling at him. You have the NFL pulling him out on one hand, and then you have Major League Baseball pulling at him. So if you're a kid and you're in that position, only thing I can do is tell you as your father, hey, man, do what's best for you. Because if you're going to make a decision, you can play football right now. You can always go back to baseball. You can go back to baseball. But if you're in a position to be the number one overall pick and play in the NFL right now, take that chance.
Is there a chance that he won't be the number one pick?
I think so. I think there's a chance there. It all depends on what Arizona is really thinking or whether or not somebody makes them a deal or offer that they can't refuse. Because Josh Rosen, when you look at the position that he was in Arizona, really wasn't given a fair shake. But coming in with a new coach, I always say this, man, and y'all laughing when I say it, but it's the Lion King analogy. When Scar tried to take over, you know, you got to get rid of Mufasa. What's the little Lion King name? Mufasa. You got to get rid of him because you got to take over. Simba, and Mufasa was his daddy. Thank you, Daryl. You got to get rid of the little lion. You got to get rid of him because you want to get your own people in there. So that analogy fits when it comes to quarterbacks. There, you very rarely see, for the most part, outside of like a Matt Ryan or James Winston or somebody like that, where quarterbacks, when you have a head coach change, that the quarterback survives that. Happened to Dan Marino. When Jimmy Johnson took over the Miami Dolphins, biggest thing, Dan Marino, Hall of Fame quarterback. Jimmy Johnson come to town, he don't like Dan Marino. Dan Marino, Hall of Fame quarterback. Dan Marino was out. I remember seeing games with Dan Marino running outside the pocket trying to be a mobile quarterback when that wasn't what he does.
No, he never did.
Trying to adapt to what his quarterback what his coach wanted him to do.
Uh-huh.
You very rarely see quarterbacks survive when you have that wholesale change. And right now, Gruden has the big piece of chicken. Was it Kingsbury has the big piece of chicken? And anybody that was a quarterback there that was there before the coach got there, you're probably on borrowed time. You probably are.
Thursday is going to be fascinating. We know you know, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver's moving up the draft board. There's a lot of talent in the front half of this draft. In that first round, in the top 15, and that's where the Falcons sit, going to be loaded with it. You know, but again, you have to do two things. You not only have to draft the right guy, you can't miss on somebody either.
And Thursday's going to be big because that's when Marvel Endgame comes out and Thanos gets his, finally. It's a two-year wait. Thanos finally gets his. Hopefully.
Going to be a very interesting remainder of this Monday show on Earth Day, live from College Park in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:20 this morning. New Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins joins us live with John and Hugh, broadcasting this morning from College Park at the Metro Atlanta Urban Farms, part of our One Thing initiative. And we'll continue breaking down the NFL draft ahead of Thursday's draft next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Hit shot, score!
Our Atlanta United are back in action.
As they kick off season three.
Catch every game here, all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Earth Day Monday, live from the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm on Main Street in College Park in Entercom. All four of our stations are here, and we're asking you to do one thing to help. What's your one thing at onethingus.com? The Metro Atlanta Urban Farm is addressing the growing needs of affordable food in low-income communities and doing it with sustainable and organic farming. Some of the sponsors include Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' has a whole new line of handcrafted signature lattes, and King of Pops, Atlanta's favorite local popsicle makers.
Yeah, buddy.
Which just celebrated. They've been around for 9 years, King of Pops.
Yeah, man, and they got some really great flavors. Great flavors of popsicles. When they did the Georgia Peach, I think that's the one they did. They had some real exotic flavors, man. So if you don't live in Atlanta and you're in Atlanta, if you want to try something different that's unique to Atlanta, you need to try some King of Pops.
Did I fire like 18 people for the
Oakland? Yes, you did, John. And I got to give my man Nerman. Let me say, Nerman, if you're listening, if I mess up your last name, please forgive me. Nerman Selimovic. Selimovic. Right. He sent me, said, they didn't fire him. They didn't fire John Gruden's crew. They sent
them home. You know what's going to happen? I'll get fired someday, right? And then somebody will tweet out, hey, John, you didn't see that coming, did you?
No, because when you told me the story, John, I was like, wow. Because I knew that I saw something where he said he didn't trust anybody.
Right.
I didn't know that they were fired, but come to find out, they were just sent home because – he didn't want them to look at the draft board. So, basically, everybody still has a job.
Oh.
he just doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust them so that they won't leak any information. Because, you know what, to be honest, John,
if that's the case, then I would probably fire them.
Well, you can't
fire. What good is it if you can't trust them?
To the point that I was making, that you can't fire everybody before the draft. You can't. That's kind of crazy.
Well, if you send them home, they're not doing you no good, no how.
Well, if you send them home, that means that they've already did the work. And you only people that really need to know who you're thinking about taking are you, and if you're the head coach and the GM, that's it. Him and Mike Mayock, that's it. Because they're sitting around. They're trying to build this football team. Like, the job of a scout is to take all of these information from all of these kids that they go all around the country to see all year long and tell you their assessment and tell you what they think is the best fit for what you're trying to build.
Right.
And then you take it from there. But, obviously, Coach Grudahl felt that the guys that he had, he didn't want the information leaked. Because to your point, John, it might be Kyler Murray. It might be somebody, because think about it like this. If they're already talking about moving on from the Carr kid, why do you need – like, if you're trying to make a draft day trade, you don't want anybody to do anything that's going to put the kibosh on that. Maybe that's the case. I mean, I'm kind of like reading into it way more than I probably need
to. Yeah, you may be.
But that might be the case. Yeah. It might be a case where he's like, you know what, we're going to we're going to trade our quarterback, and we're going to get Kyler Murray, but we don't need anybody to know that because that could put a kibosh on everything. Or they might say, okay, we got a deal done with so-and-so, so we don't need anybody to know that because that'll put a kibosh on everything. So that's what it is.
You know, when they got rid of Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack in Oakland, and now you have three first-round picks and you have a pick at the top of the second round, I mean, you have four picks in the first 36 picks of the NFL draft. Four.
Yeah.
I mean, you can – if you wanted to –
nice, dynamic players.
You could reshape your team. You could build one side of the ball. Like, for example, you could build your entire defense in one draft.
You could do that, or you can get the quarterback that you could groom and make him in the image that you want him to be in, and you can go out and get some defensive.
Well, but
players.
That's what I was talking about. That's why it makes the draft so tough. Our draft coverage on Thursday night will be live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium from 7 o'clock until the end of the first round. So if you're in your car Thursday night and you're looking for the draft, again, Mike Connie and alongside Randy Mack, Wes, and Dave, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we cover wall-to-wall the NFL draft. But that's the thing about it. It's not just drafting the right guy. It's not drafting
the wrong guy.
See, if Kyler Murray to me is such an enigma, Hugh. I mean, there's no question that he is a talented player. Mm-hmm. But does that mean, do you think, if you could project out, can you say that Kyler Murray is Pat Mahomes? Can you say he's going
no,
to be?
I don't think he's Pat Mahomes, but I think he can be. You know, if I'm comparing Kyler Murray to somebody in the NFL just on his stature alone, I would probably say more Russell Westbrook.
And Russell Wilson?
What did I say, Russell Westbrook basketball? See, my mind. Sorry about that, people, this morning. Russell Wilson. I would say more Russell Wilson. Yes, definitely. Because
baseball player,
yes,
can move, has a big arm.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, John, because the one thing that I admire about Russell Wilson as a quarterback is that he has the ability, like he has the escapability, which is huge in the NFL, and he's a guy that doesn't take a whole lot of big hits, and he can move around in the pocket and he can extend plays. But he's always looking to throw the ball down the field. He runs out of necessity. Now, as far as Kyler Murray is concerned, I think that he can be more of a Russell Wilson type. Because what was the game Oklahoma played where they were down? I can't remember who they were playing, but they were down, and he fought to get back in the game, and they still lost the game. I think it was during the playoffs.
Wait, against Alabama?
Alabama, yeah. Yeah, they were down against Alabama. And he got them back in the game. They didn't win the game, but he showed you some ability. He showed you what he could do. You know what I mean? And I think that when you look at a young quarterback, and you look at the way that the NFL is evolving, that's the kind of guy you want in the pocket. You want a guy that if he has to, it's not his first priority, but if he has to, he can pull the ball down and he can run it for you. He can make those tough yards for you, and he can also stay healthy.
I think that Kyler Murray is going to be a star in the NFL.
I think he can be too, John. I really do.
The question is, how much if you're a team that wants to trade with Arizona, how much do you want to give them? Because
I tell you what, I've had the opportunity to be around Coach Gruden. They beat us to go to the Super Bowl, and Coach Gruden knows a lot about that position. He loves that position. And I know Darryl's not going to want to hear this, but if there was one quarterback that I feel that could reach his full potential, it would be him with John Gruden. I'll say that. And I know a lot of Raiders fans probably don't want to hear that and everything, but you're talking about a quarterback coach and a coach who will take that young man, who could take that young man and get everything that you can get out of him, you know, that you would want out of a quarterback. I think he could do that with him. I do. Because, man, listen, he had Bobby Hoying. Like, if you go back and look at those Eagles in 97 when Rodney Pete was there, and I think Coy Detmer or Kyle, one of the Detmer boys was there. And when Bobby Hoying came in, how he rejuvenated that offense with John Gruden being his quarterback coach. He was the quarterback coach there. And he made Bobby Hoying look all world. I think, 97. Go 97. Go look at that.
NFL Draft is Thursday. Our draft coverage brought to you by NorthernTool.com. And we are going to be talking NFL Draft all week long. We're also going to be talking about the Braves, what they did in Cleveland to kind of salvage a weekend series as the bats boom for the Atlanta Braves. That's next as we continue live from the Metro Atlanta Urban Farm in College Park on our One Thing Initiative with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.